When we finish praying for others in our daily prayer, we can pray for ourselves and ask God to give us the grace to act in the most Christ-like way possible in the forthcoming day. This is the time to try and anticipate all the jobs we have to do and the people we have to meet so that we can try to meet them as Christ would have done and serve them as he did. That is why in the seventh letter of our memory jog for prayer, Parousia, it is the letter A that we use to remind us that now is the time for action. It is a good opportunity to make a few resolutions, therefore, to do humdrum tasks as well as we can, like clearing our desks, for instance, doing the shopping or preparing the meals, and the other jobs that can help transform our day when they're done with love. There are more important things that we could also resolve to do that are all too easy to keep putting off. There is always that friend or relative who is sick or in need of us, whom we should phone or write to or even visit for a few minutes. We may need to make a resolution to apologize to one of the family, a friend, or someone at work for the way we behaved towards them the previous day. Sometimes there are very difficult decisions that we have to make that can cost us dearly, like standing up for someone who has been abused by authority at work or elsewhere. We may have to decide to speak the truth when no one wants to hear it, or even to stand up for what we know is right and at great personal cost. Once we have seen what we ought to do and decided to do it, we must refuse to listen to that soothing little voice from within us that will inevitably try to lead us astray. It will appeal to the procrastinator, the sluggard, and the coward that is in us all, to renegade on the resolutions we made only a short time before. One of the most important truths of the spiritual life that we can neglect at our peril is that we will not ultimately be judged by the wonderful things we've experienced in prayer. We will not be asked how many ecstasies we had, or even how many miracles we worked or people we healed, but how we have served God in the neighbor in need. Lord, as I now go through the details of the day ahead with you, inspire me with the wisdom that I need to live it as I should. Fill me with the same spirit that inspired Jesus, so that I may be inspired too in everything that I say and do. If I can't love everyone as I should, help me at least to do them no harm, and give me the sympathy and compassion of Jesus, in whose footsteps I want to walk. Franciscans have traditionally taught us to pray by emphasizing how we should use our hearts, while Dominicans stress the use of the mind. Which of them is right? Both of them are right. That's why the great Benedictine writer William of Saint-Thierry said that you will never love someone unless you know them. But you will never really know them unless you love them. The trouble is, when I first decided to start taking prayer seriously, I had just fallen in love for the first time, and I simply could not conceive loving God with my whole heart and my mind and with my whole being as I'd come to love my girlfriend. Compared with her, God seems so abstract, so distant, so far away. That is precisely why God became man, so that we could love him in Jesus, my parish priest explained to me. The trouble was, I had difficulty with the very idea of loving another man, even if he was the Son of God, at least not as I'd recently come to understand the word love. It might do for girls, but it wouldn't do for me. Then I came across a book that seemed to resolve my difficulties. It explained how, in the Old Testament, God was sometimes called a mother as well as a father, and was endowed with feminine as well as male characteristics. It showed how some of the fathers of the church spoke of what they called the anima and the animus in God, the masculine and the feminine. In other words, God is neither male nor female, but the qualities of maleness and femaleness can be found uniquely balanced and brought to perfection in him, and perfectly expressed in his love for all creation. These same qualities must, therefore, be found in Jesus Christ, in whom the fullness of the Father's love is to be found here on earth. That is why, in responding to his love, men and women can respond equally, if differently, and both ultimately find their completion in him. Thanks to that book, what I originally thought impossible suddenly became possible, and the ambiguity about trying to love Jesus no longer held me back. I decided to study him more and more deeply, so that I could come to love him, and in loving him, come to experience the only love that could change me permanently for the better. Every committed Catholic is brought up to say their morning and evening prayers, to make their morning offering, to use the prayers handed down like the Lord's own prayer and many other prayers and devotional practices. However, the time always comes when Christ reaches out to us personally and calls us to a deep personal relationship with himself that can change our lives. It may be through a book that is read, a Christ-like person who we meet, a sermon that is heard, or even a direct spiritual touch that is felt. Then a new personal relationship with Christ can begin. But beware, these special moments when God touches us are a call to deepen our own personal spiritual lives so that one day he can use us to help others. I say beware because pride can wrongly convince a person that his or her call to deepen their own personal spiritual lives is in fact a call to start leading, guiding, and lecturing others, when they are in fact only beginners themselves. When God called Saint Anthony into the desert, it was to spend 20 years allowing God to change him first, before he was fit to guide others. Even then, he did not set himself up to teach others. It was others who sought him out to teach them. There are too many self-serving prophets today, and not enough God-serving sinners who seek forgiveness in solitude and the purification in prayer that true prophets are made of. But what is the next step when we feel called to deepen our spiritual lives? How do we get started once we are aware that we are called to come to know and love Christ in a way that we've never experienced him before? How can such a relationship begin? How does any relationship begin? There's nothing mysterious about human communication. We get to know someone by listening to the words they use. The spaces between people are bridged by words. They enable us to find out more about them, to draw closer and closer to them. This is why Christians have always regarded the Bible with awe from earliest times, because it contains the words that bridge the gap between God and man, God's words. It even goes a step further by showing how God's word was eventually embodied in the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. When we listen to him, therefore, we listen to his words. We learn to listen to God. When we learn to love him, we learn to love God. Besides the time given to silence in the memory jog for prayer, we've still been doing most of the talking. However, for prayer to lead us on, to generate the quality of love that will alone permanently change us and change us for the better, we must learn to listen. That is why all authentic prayer begins not in flinging oneself into obscure states of transcendental awareness, but by trying to listen to God's words, most particularly as embodied in the words of Jesus Christ. When we read the scriptures then slowly and prayerfully, allowing them to sink into our hearts, we listen to the word of God speaking to us now. This is why the early Christians used to pray in a method of prayer called Lectio Divina, or divine or sacred reading. It was so called not just because they believed the words they read were inspired, but because they believed that they too would be inspired as they read them by the same Holy Spirit who inspired them in the first place. They believed that through the holy readings, they would be led on and into a sort of profound conversation with God that would draw them into what St. Paul called the breadth and length, the height and depth of the love of Christ that surpasses the understanding. Speech then travels between separate parts, but in perfect at-one-ment, there is a perfect silence of bliss.